Welcome to Sonic Stories, the show where music, human performance, and life intersect and are shared through personal stories. My name is Benny Collins, and on this show, I invite a guest to choose three songs that have shaped their life in one way or another, and to share the stories behind these songs and the meaning that they hold for them. Outside of this podcast, I work in the field of sport and performance psychology, as well as for a financial technology company. Well, if you're listening to this, then you may have realized that it's been quite a number of months since I put out an episode, and that's just because of big life events for myself this year. Thinking chronologically, I had hip surgery on April 3rd for a torn labrum and went through about 6 months of PT and come out the other side. Definitely healthier, definitely better, which is great. Very happy about that considering the number of surgeries I've had to this point. So happy that that's behind me. In June, I had a bachelor party. And then following that in July, I got married. One of the biggest life events a person could have, which was an unbelievable experience and an unbelievable day. Couldn't be happier with how it came out. I really couldn't. It just blew me away in so many different ways and easily is one of the greatest moments and days of my life. So very grateful for everyone that was a part of that and how it all shaped up. And then in August, I volunteered with a really, really great youth camp called Experience Camps. I think there's about five, six, maybe seven locations around the country, but it's a grief camp specialized for youth. So kids ages, I believe 8 to 17 or 9 to 17 in there. Anyone that's lost a parent, a sibling, or a caregiver, absolutely free to attend for them. And I volunteered for a week as a volunteer counselor with a group of guys that are soon to be juniors. So it was an unbelievable experience. I definitely plan on going back next year and volunteering again. And outside of just working with the youth, there were just so many interesting people that are also volunteered to be a part of it, whether they're in leadership positions at the director level, or even just counselors like myself that were there for the first time or there for their fifth summer in a row. Just a really magical place in a very beautiful location in Lake of the Woods, Michigan, which is only about maybe two and a half hours from Chicago. So very conveniently located, but unbelievable. So yeah, those are just a few reasons why I've been a little slow on churning out some episodes, which I'm now excited to finally be getting some out. This guest definitely relates to one of those three events, which I'm excited to get into. But first, quick announcement. I'm in an affiliated partnership with a great company called Mudwater. Mudwater is a coffee alternative that has all the pros of coffee and virtually none of the cons. It has organic ingredients to improve mental and physical performance, minimize mood swings, improve physical stamina, immunity, and overall health. It contains masala chai, cacao, a blend of four medicinal mushrooms such as lion's mane, cordyceps, chaga, and reishi, and then some other simple spices that you probably have in your kitchen cabinet right now, like cinnamon, turmeric, and Himalayan sea salt. I personally love coffee. I still drink coffee pretty much daily, but it is one of those things where I would start to experience really high peaks of energy and then crashes at something like 2 p.m. in the afternoon when there's still plenty of daylight left, plenty of things I still need to get done. And that inconsistency of energy and just kind of a shifting of a mood is something just wasn't quite working for me. And so what I started to do is drinking mud water in the morning before any sort of coffee and sometimes in the afternoon for a little bit of an energy boost. But just knowing that it's not something that's going to send me into that kind of rocket ship caffeine space, which is good. So without a doubt, it's been one of the best changes to my morning ritual and just across the day in general. So very appreciative that it's out there. But outside of all that, all the effects of the product itself, the organization, they donate to MAPS, which is the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies to support psychedelic-assisted psychotherapy for those that are suffering from depression, PTSD, addiction, and suicidal ideation. And after doing some research on their company and on top of just enjoying the product itself, it was really kind of a no-brainer just to team up with them. So if you'd like to give Mudwater a try, there's a link in the show notes of this episode that will take you directly to the website where you can place an order. Now onto this episode's guest. This week, I'm joined by Henry Welsh. Let's get started. Henry, how are we doing, my man?
I'm great, Benny. It's great to be here.
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks for, I know you said, before I hit record, you said, thank you for taking the time, but actually thank you for taking the time because yes, I know you're deep in the throes of business school.
Yes, it's a pleasure. I'm happy to be here.
Before we get started, I think we owe the people listening in just a quick intro on who you are.
Definitely. So my name is Henry. I grew up in Los Angeles. I'm the youngest of three boys. Went to an all-boys Catholic high school called Loyola. I grew up playing all the sports, soccer, baseball, basketball. I'm 6'10" now, so I found my way into basketball like naturally over time, and got recruited to play in college, which I did for 4 years at Harvard. I studied economics and statistics while I was there. We won two Ivy League championships my sophomore and junior year, and I met some of my best friends in the process. After I finished my basketball career, I got a job in New York working in private equity. Did that for 3 years. And now I'm back in school getting my MBA from Stanford. And what else can I say? I'm married to my high school sweetheart. We met when we were 16 and got engaged on the day of my college graduation, and then married a year later, right in the middle of the pandemic. It was June 2021, in this window of time right between Delta and Omicron. So it was a crazy time to get married, but it ended up working out great for us. And we kind of had the celebration that we had always envisioned. And we've been married for 3 years now. And it's all good. But that's a little bit about me.
Awesome. Thanks. I appreciate it. And I have to ask, so as someone who also recently was married, hasn't
Yes.
been 3 years like it has for you. It's been like, I think quite literally 3 months, almost 3 months. One thing I've kind of perceived over time since being married is that time seems to move in a different way now that I'm, I went from being engaged and now I'm married to this person, and now you're thinking about things more long term. Have you felt that at all with your wife? Like days move differently, or weeks move differently, or the long term plans that you think about, or the goals you think about together, your perception on those have kind of shifted.
That definitely resonates with me. I think so. When we think about like having a family, which is like a big goal of ours, and like we want to have a big, happy, successful family, that's like a really long-term thing. And it definitely like just like being together and talking about it a lot and like preparing for that in some ways, it definitely like makes you start thinking about like not what's happening tomorrow, what's happening in 20 years. So I can definitely relate to that.
It's interesting. Yeah, I feel like, because there are some days that feel so long and then some days that feel so short. And like, when I think about the summer or even the fall, I feel like that's flying by. But then there are certain days along the way that like, oh man, I feel like this has been like a 38-hour day.
I can totally relate.
Before we dive into these three songs, is there anything that you want to share, like an introduction on these songs?
They're all songs that have been a part of my life for a long time. They each have very sentimental value to me. And these songs have all like been big contributors to like the biggest moments in my life, and some like core memories. And so I'm super excited to talk about those.
Awesome. Great. Great. Well, let's get to it. Well, I'm gonna go just kind of in order of how you listed them out to me in the text. So let's start
Perfect.
with Breathless by William Prince.
Yes.
So you just said core memories, you said very sentimental for you. So taking it back to the first time you heard this song, can you remember or imagine that setting and where you were?
Yes. The first time I heard I was at my mom's house. It was like March 2020. So this was right when the pandemic kicked off. And my whole family all moved back together into my mom's house. So it was me, my two older brothers, and all of our wives, or I guess now wives, some of them weren't wives at the time. We were just there hanging out and got to spend so much time together. And we like cooked a lot of meals and exercised together and ate dinner together and went for walks and just had like this like really awesome period where thank God we were all healthy through the pandemic. And like the silver lining of it all is that we just had really wonderful time to spend together. And we were always playing music. And this song, my brother was playing it one day. It came on. I was like, oh, this is a great song. And then it didn't really like come up again for a while until I was on a road trip with my wife, Caitlin, and we were driving into Arches National Park in southern Utah, which was absolutely stunning. And this song came on again. And it just like, I don't know. And now in my head, the association is like just so much natural beauty and such an amazing memory with Caitlin. And So I like that kind of got me going. And then I guess the last thing is it was the first dance song at our wedding. So it was a really interesting journey. Like I heard it for the first time in March 2020, and by June 2021, it was our first dance song.
Wow. That's wild. When I think about the songs that people choose for this show, oftentimes they're songs that they have heard, they're familiar with them for like 10, 15 years. But I think it's really special that this is a song you've known for fewer than 5 years, but it just like did a just like a comet landing into or like an asteroid landing into Earth. They just like crashed into you and meant something to you. When you think about like the origin of this song, brothers, your mom, Caitlin, your brothers' wives. When you think of it, where does it kind of take you? Like, do you think back to being in your mom's house with all of them, or do you specifically think about the first dance with Caitlin?
It's interesting. I would say the memory of being at my mom's house in COVID, it isn't one that's come up for me that often, but it was really fun to like relive that right now and thinking about like its true origin. What does come up for me a lot is driving through the national park and just like that like feeling of pure bliss at like this just like the beautiful landscape. And the time I had with Caitlin, that comes up a lot. And then of course our first dance song, that moment was very, very special.
There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. Yeah, and like I was saying before, having someone who's recently married, like music is such a it was he was such a huge part of our wedding, and that first dance song, like we chose very specifically, and it was incredible. But I have to pause. So you mentioned Arches, you mentioned Southern Utah, and I just mentioned before we hit record that we're in Telluride. This past weekend, we drove out to Moab and spent the weekend in Moab,
Oh,
and
amazing.
so yeah, so we and I. You know, in a weird way, I have to be honest, we didn't go to Canyonlands and we did not go to Arches, but we did go to on Saturday, we did this trail called Fisher Towers Trail, which is just outside of Arches. I'll have to send you pictures. It's like you mentioned landscape. It honestly feels like you're on Mars. That's what it's like. It's like, and you were just over there, you know, you saw Arches. And so it's just an unbelievable place.
I totally agree. My favorite thing that we did when we were there, we did a sunrise hike at the Delicate Arch, which is this like s like it's like one kind of like standalone arch. It takes like 4 miles to get there. We woke up at 3 in the morning and it was pitch black and like got lost along the way because we couldn't see the trail signs. And then we were stressed and then we made it there just in time for the sunrise and just like took our breath away. It's so beautiful there.
Yeah. That's amazing. And I mean, I have to ask, did you say that it took your breath away because the song that you chose is called Breathless? Henry, are you doing this to me right now, Henry?
I can't say it was intentional, but maybe there's like some associative memory that's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, for sure. And if we're being honest, there is a lot of research and science about how music changes us in like kind of a physiological way. If you think about
Definitely.
like listening to, you know, techno music, which I don't do very much anymore, but it's a super high BPM or beats per minute. And so it's, and you're dancing to it. So it's like, doo, doo, doo. So it's very fast. Whereas, you know, maybe you're listening to something that's slower, like the soundtrack of Snow White, for instance, that's more gentle and soft. So maybe it's more relaxing. So yeah, music has that strange power.
Definitely. I'm really interested in how like I listen to classical music oftentimes, like when I'm studying or reading or doing deep work, and it is amazing how it impacts my ability to concentrate. And then also like when I'm exercising, just like listening to hip hop and rap, and like it just like gets me fired up, and really has I think a real physiological impact on my ability to perform. It's amazing.
Totally. Yeah, it is. Like you know, when I was first kind of conceiving the baby that is this podcast, I was like doing my own little research on like on that exact thing. And if you think about like all the old war movies you might have seen, like Braveheart or even like Game of Thrones, for instance, if you've seen that show, like there's always scenes like near or before a battle of somebody with a drum banging on a drum. And that's literally for the people below deck rowing the ship, or it's the people to feel activated and confident before they go out into a big hairy battle. So
Yeah.
it's very primal, which I think is very cool. Like music has been a part of mankind since mankind has ever been mankind, as far as I can tell.
It's really
Yeah.
interesting.
It is. It's wild. But yeah, so is there anything else that you like to listen to outside of classical, just when you're doing that deep work, that focus time, or is that the stuff that really hits the mark?
I feel like that's what I typically go to. And it's nothing in particular. I just like put on Apple Music, like classical classics, if you will.
Sure.
And it just goes in the background and helps me concentrate. That's mostly it for work.
Yeah. Yeah, that's totally fair. I mean, it's all about finding the thing that works. Like I think when it comes to exercise, you mentioned hip hop and rap, and I totally used to go that direction. And now at some points I've had to move away, and I sometimes listen to podcasts now because I don't know, maybe my workouts are getting a little too monotonous and I'm just too accustomed to them, so I can just blindly and kind of robotically get through them, and I need to like get some more kind of stimulation. Yeah, I think I'm outing myself that I need to change my workout regimen. I think that's what's happening.
But I also commend you for being able to concentrate on a podcast while you work out because I couldn't do
Yeah, it's yeah, I think as I get older, I've wanted more mental stimulation, I would say.
Definitely.
Whereas before, I wanted to be like this, you know, I was an athlete just like you. I was a basketball player, so I wanted something to get me super hyped up to go do a bunch of box jumps that are 4 feet tall or whatever it is. Not that I ever did that. I don't think I could ever do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, what else can you tell me about this song with about Breathless? What else comes to mind for you? How about like an emotion wheel? I know therapists use that sometimes. They hold up a wheel of different emotions and share that with their clients just to help describe the things that they feel in a certain moment. So if you had to hold up an emotion wheel for yourself when listening to Breathless, what are some of those emotions that come up?
Yeah. It's a great question. I would say the first couple of things that are coming to mind, one is nostalgia. Just like for that day and that day in Arches, our wedding day. It's fun to go back to those and it always comes up. I also like feel very connected to my wife when if it comes on shuffle when we're together. It's just like it's just like an immediate like our eyes meet and our and we smile and our hearts meet and that's like a really beautiful thing. What else do I feel? I guess those two things and then just like love like it just like it kind of washes over me. I feel so lucky to have met Caitlin when I did when we were just teenagers and. That we've had to, we've been able to share so much life together. We're in 4 months, we'll have known each other for a decade, which is like really hard to wrap my head around.
Wow.
And I just like that song because of the memories associated with it, just like encapsulates a lot of love for me.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you going through the wheel and sharing that,
Yeah.
because that's awesome. Let's skip over to our next song in line, How Do You Like Me Now by Toby Keith.
Yes.
So, origin story for this song, what does that look like?
Yeah. So this is a classic country song. And it was my dad's favorite song. He passed away 6 years ago to cancer. And he like the first time I heard this song was when it's like I was probably, 6, 7, 8 years old and he had it on a CD in his car, and there were five CDs that like which rotated around in a wheel, and so the song came on all the time, and he loved it and belted it out every time, and like I'll just never forget like those memories of being in the car with him. He would often also drive me to sporting events, in particular like I played baseball for a while growing up, and. We'd have like 8 a.m. games somewhere that's like really far away inland, and it's a 2 hour drive. So he wakes me up at 5. We go to McDonald's. We're in the car together for 2 hours. He's there at the baseball field with me for 4 or 5 hours, and then we go home. And like I hold those memories really dearly, of just like the commitment he had to me and to my brothers as a father, and like how he showed up for us. And so this song, I guess, like ties into that memory, because it would often come on when we were in the car together. And that's a little bit about the origin. It's very meaningful because it also like, it reminds me of him and how happy and loving and fun he was. He would always like beat the steering wheel like a drum when the song came on. And we also played it at my wedding. It was like the first song we played after the first dance. It was like the song to like get everyone on the dance floor, and it was a really cool ode to him because we missed him deeply. And it was like, it's in those big moments that like you really feel the absence of someone who you love, and I was missing him a lot, and so it was nice to be able to like have that tribute for him. And so yeah, that's a little bit of the origin. And there's more I can share, but I guess I'll just stop there.
Yeah, no, that was wonderful. That was really great. And I love what you said about it's in those big moments where you really sense somebody's absence. Like no truer words have been spoken. And I definitely resonate with that. And it makes those special moments very bittersweet too, you know? Like when you think about your wedding day, like from what I would guess from you, I would guess just from like your retelling of it that that was one of the best days of your life. And for me, my wedding day was also one of the best days of my life. And, you know, going back to time, it flew by, but then there's also so many things that you just like remember those little memories and how important it was. And music is right along in there because music is like the soundtrack to life. And it sounds like this song was your dad's soundtrack. And then by extension became you and your brothers too, which is really special. So
Yeah.
that's awesome. How many, if you had to take a wild guess, how many times do you think your dad
Ooh.
played that song?
Oh wow. I
More
mean,
than 50? More than 100?
oh yeah, I think the order of magnitude is probably in the like 200 to 500 range. I heard it a lot. I heard it a lot. And like it also was the origin of my love for country music. I love just like the vibes and the message, and think it's really fun. And I get that from him, and specifically from his love for Toby Keith.
Okay. Have you ever seen a Toby Keith concert or to a show before?
I've never been, sadly. He passed away earlier this year, which was a sad loss. But
Yeah.
I never got to go to a show.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean I'm not a country music person, but I know like when I think of country music, I think of like Luke Bryan and Toby Keith.
Yes.
There's just like a couple of big names that I know of, and like those are the guys.
Definitely. I think that's right. And I guess my other favorite artist who was like a big entree point for me to country music as a genre was Zac Brown Band.
Yes.
They've always been one of my favorites. Their song Toes, like, so it encapsulates it's like, be where your feet are. Be optimistic, life's a beach kind of attitude that I try to take in life.
Yeah.
And it really resonates with me.
That's awesome. I should look into that song because that's something, you know, you mentioned be where your feet are. That's something that I would often tell athletes that I'd be working with, whether they were stressed out about something that they had just done. So, like, you know, a basketball example is it's like fourth quarter, you're down by two and you just miss both your free throws. You know, it's like, well, we needed those free throws to tie the game. It's a pretty big thing. And oftentimes so many athletes will be lingering, kicking themselves in on the inside about how they dismissed those as opposed to running back on the defensive end and ready to get a stop, you know? And like you and I both know like that's not how you perform. You can't perform that way. You can't live in the past. And you know, for like a conference championship, you can't be worried about missing shots before the game's even tipped off. It's like, who knows what the hell? Who knows what's gonna happen? So I love that thought.
It's interesting how it cuts both ways. It's like you got to just be here because you can't be where you were. You can't be where you're going to be. All you like, you're only where you are. And
Yes.
I think like it's like that mantra has been important for me in my life and like my journey with hoops. Like I am big and tall, but I wasn't always super athletic, and it was always like what can I do today? What can I do one day at a time to get
Right.
better 1% at a time? And it's like when you kind of break it down like that, where okay, like I can't control a year from now, but I can control today. And what am I doing today to set myself up for success? And I think with that mindset, I was able to kind of go from being a gangly and like awkward and somewhat coordinated eighth grader to a college basketball player. And I think that's a really cool journey. It starts with being where your feet are.
Totally. Yeah. I completely agree. One of the coaches I had growing up, well, it was in college, but he had said that, I don't know, I think he might have been like sensing some dread or anxiety in the team where guys were, worried about their up like an upcoming opponent we were going to play or something like that. And he said that all we had to do is just play our best. Like that, if you only have to do one thing, just play your best. Like, and what's inside of playing your best? Like, does that mean hitting a bunch of shots? We don't know. Does that mean getting 15 boards? We don't know. Four steals, four blocks? We don't know. But just that's the one thing. Just play your best, and then everything else will fall into place.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's such a powerful mindset. Where like I'm gonna put my best foot forward, and like who knows what's gonna happen, but I can always hang my hat on that the fact that like I gave it everything I had.
Yeah, and then you can be happy with the result, because you didn't leave anything to chance. But with, going back to Toby Keith, how do you like me now? Is this also, you mentioned with the first song Breathless, when that comes on and you are in the same room with Caitlin, you guys lock together, eye contact emotionally. With How Do You Like Me Now, if you were in the same room as your brothers, for instance, and that song came on, what kind of reaction happens there for you guys?
I feel like I kind of started to make it with my face, and I just like felt myself frown. And it's like if it comes on when I'm with my brothers, it's like we give each other a look. That's a very different look than Breathless with Caitlin, but a look nonetheless. And it's like this freaking sucks. Like we're it's like it's kind of like a frowny smile where like. Because it's fun to think about our dad, but it just like breaks our hearts that he's not here. And so it's both.
Do you? Because I know, like, obviously, as we're discussing and as we both know, music holds a lot of memories too. So, we haven't gotten to the third song, but when you think about these three songs, and then also even Toes by Zac Brown Band, which you've mentioned you like a lot, do you ever intentionally seek out these songs to listen to them to then reconjure up some of those moments?
Yeah, definitely. I think especially How Do You Like Me Now? Like so sometimes I just like maybe I just need a good cry, like because I'm feeling down or sad or whatever, and I just like need to just like sit in that for a second. This song like takes me there in an instant, and so it like it definitely does that for me. And it's one of the memory that comes to mind is like we were driving home from my dad's burial, 2 weeks after he passed away. We had the funeral and then buried him the next day, and we're all in the car, the whole family, and we're driving his car, and of course the song just like comes on as it did on the wheel of CDs. We like just cranked it up to like a 1,000 volume, and everyone just like belting at the top of their lungs, screaming almost like every single word of the song. And it was cathartic. It was like, wow, this like my like we're all crying, we're all like screaming the lyrics, and it was like such a release of sadness and emotion. And it like that's a memory that is with me forever.
That's awesome. That's so cool. And I can very much imagine this, this car full of, 6 foot 10 blonde
Yeah,
people just belting out Toby Keith, like missing red lights and going just like hazardous, but like hazardous, but in like such a beautiful, incredible way.
truly,
Like, yeah,
truly.
it's a cool thing to imagine. So I think like when you think about processing grief or even just processing a tough moment with grief, because grief obviously doesn't really end. You just kind of like learn to live with it and adjust on how it impacts you. But I imagine in that moment, that car ride and the way you all would have been feeling post the burial would have been way different had that song just serendipitously not come on. Like
Definitely.
what if it was, don't even know, like Evil Ways by Carlos Santana, or what if it was like Rock Your Body by Justin Timberlake? It's like
Yeah.
just totally different, a totally different
Just not really
experience.
the vibe. Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. Yeah, and like we all, especially in the kind of days, weeks, and months after he died, like that was it, it's still hard, but I think especially in that, in like the kind of initial aftermath of his death, like it's harder. And to just like have that ability to just like scream, like just you can just like let some of that out. And
Yes.
so like that feels good. And also I think we're so fortunate to have each other to like support and love and help carry each other through like this whole time in our lives. Just to have someone to talk to, like when you're feeling down, I can give my brothers a call, give my mom a call. I can talk with Caitlin, and I know that they're an unblemished ear, and will always pick up the phone. And I think that has been, it's like so crucial for all of us in like figuring out how to put one foot in front of the other after he died.
I imagine, excuse me, I imagine in some ways you're kind of piecing back together how you go about your day-to-day life in a way.
Definitely.
But how would you say your relationship with your family members has changed since he passed away?
It's a great question. I feel like we like because we only had each other in that moment, and we were supported also by an amazing community and friends and an extended family and people who like just loved on us so much. And we had this like kind of tight group. We like you know like we really came together, and I think our relationships are stronger. We're also like a lot more open to talking about our feelings, maybe more so now than we ever have been. And I think that's really healthy. Like we're all incredibly positive, happy, optimistic people, and so sometimes at the dinner table we don't really like, we used to not really bring up, you know, like more negative emotions. Sadness, anger, frustration, and we just like we've learned to talk about it, and it's become more, I guess, normal to talk about these emotions. And I think in so doing, like we're able to deepen our bonds, and that's like one like good derivative of this like of the whole thing, that we're fortunate to be able to come even closer together.
I was thinking the same thing. It's like, if how many positives can you take away from a death in the family, the passing? But I think just going through something of that magnitude and then learning from it, learning with it, and building resilience with it in a way, those are life skills, which like whether you had those before or not, it's like you're now, like those are there, it's like you can't, no one can take that away from you. How to process hard things and how to communicate when you're experiencing hard things. Like you talked to mention with your brothers, how you're more open with each other and you can talk about different things. So that's, it's like you're unlocking a whole nother skill tree that you can now access during tough stuff.
Definitely. Yeah, I the word resilience really resonates. I thought I was resilient before my dad died as an athlete. I'd like worked hard and through, and we lost games and disappointment. But this like added a whole new dimension to that, and it's definitely something that I can hang on to for the rest of my life, for sure. Which again, it's like crappy, but we are where we are. We're where our feet are, and like, what can we bring with us as we go forward?
Exactly. Yeah. What can we take? What can we take with us that is helpful? You know, that's awesome. That's great.
The resilience and the fun memories of listening to How Do You Like Me Now in the car.
Yes. Yeah. You have to, I don't know. I think that maybe you should get that CD and you should get it like, should get it framed or like enshrined somehow, like preserved.
We do have we have like a playlist that's put together all of the songs from like the five CDs that were in his car, and that's like the
Nice.
closest we've gotten. And it would be I don't even know if anyone knows where the CD is because I think we sold the car a few years ago.
Yeah.
But in any case, I do like to tap back into that playlist because it's How You Like Me Now and also like the 50 other songs that I know by heart because I heard them all like dozens of times.
Right.
So I like tapping into that as well in moments where I want to like feel connected to my dad.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah, I imagine with five CDs you've heard so many times that you're at this point your DNA is pretty much altered in a way.
For real.
That's wild. Cool. Well, let's get to the final track here. These Alone Are Enough by
Yes.
Dan. And I'm gonna have you pronounce his last name because I don't know how to pronounce that last name. Is it Dan Shoot or Shut?
So I'm gonna embarrassingly say I actually don't know the answer either.
Okay.
And so I would say for this song the artist is less relevant because this is a church song, and
Okay.
so he like wrote it, but the performances of it are different. And the first time I heard it was like the choir at my high school sang it at a church service. So that's not Dan last name, but it's like the Loyola High School choir.
Sure.
And so I've never actually like thought of like who the artist was until I sent you the song.
So you mentioned it's a church song from when you were
Yes.
growing up. So you have core memories from How Do You Like Me Now, Breathless. What's a core memory of this song?
This song also appeared at my wedding. It was like the so we had a church ceremony, but my wife and I are both Catholic. So we had a traditional church ceremony before the reception, and this song was played after communion. So when everyone goes up to receive the body and blood of Christ, and then you go back and sit down, and this is like the reflection song where the mass is coming to an end, and we take 5 minutes to just kind of like sit, meditate, pray, and listen to the song. That's where it was featured on our wedding day. It also was in the same spot of my dad's funeral mass, the post-communion reflection song. I guess a third memory, not really a specific memory, but just like I associate it a lot with my high school experience, which is the first time that I heard it. And the song is based on a prayer that was written by Saint Ignatius of Loyola, who's the patron saint of my high school Loyola, which is named after
Okay.
him. He's the founder of the Jesuit order of priests. Their whole thing was like, we're going to go quote unquote set the world on fire. And what they did was they just like they traveled around the world and set up schools and universities to help to like spread the gospel and teach their values and what mattered to them. And so that's like I guess the origin of like Loyola High School is it was founded by members of the Jesuit order, and it's kind of like continuing in that tradition. And so this song is one of Saint Ignatius of Loyola's prayers, and it was sung pretty much at every church ceremony that we had when I was in high school. We'd go like once a month, basically as a whole community. And I like the reason that it resonates a lot with me is it's a very meditative song, and it allows me to just like to enter into a prayerful state and just like slow down for a second. And then the last thing I'll say is it like I loved my high school, met amazing friends, learned so much, grew so much as a human being while I was there. And so like this song also like takes me back to those memories of like being with my buddies and playing sports and being in the classroom and all the shenanigans that 15-year-old boys did together when it's an all boys school and like you're just kind of there being bros. I had a lot of fun and like learned a lot and loved it. And so I associate all of that with this song as well.
Yeah, that's vast. That's like a vast, I mean, high school is, 4 years long, but it's it this song made has some form of a pre presence at, with your dad, with Caitlin, it sounds like too. But I want to talk a little bit more about like the meditative state that you get into while listening to it,
Definitely.
because I find that really curious and interesting.
Yeah.
So is this song like ever something you seek out because you feel like you need to get into that meditative state because you need to hush the noise or recalibrate yourself or just become more centered? Is that something that you ever do?
Yeah, I like it. Yeah. I wouldn't say it's like a 100% intentional. Like I feel riled up and I need to calm down, so I want to listen to this song. But sometimes I just feel like moved to search for it in my library of songs. And it does it really does it for me. Like I put it on and it's like slow and it's a piano and there's violin and it just like really like soothes the soul. And the whole message of the song is basically like I'm giving up my like needs and wants and everything I'm striving for. I'm giving it up to God. Like, give me only your love and your grace. These alone are enough for me. And so that message resonates. Just you can get we get so I can get so it's like caught up in the day-to-day and I'm thinking about, oh, like what about this job and what's 5 years from now? And we talked about it earlier, right? Like what's 50 years from now? But let me just come back to this present state and just be here and settle into that.
Yeah, that's great. And it's like, it's such a valuable piece of music. When you think
Definitely.
about things that like influence you, whether it's to be, I think about like the, I can't remember who it was. I wish I could remember in this moment, but the idea of a person being in doing mode, which is like productivity, accomplishing tasks, getting stuff done, or a person that is in being mode, where they're kind of
Yeah.
more just existing and they're not exactly focused on accomplishments. And more just trying to exist with themselves with little to no expectations, So calling upon some of those like founding pillars of meditation in a way. So yeah, I have a song or two like that myself, and they're songs that I'm like, kind of like you, it's just like, man, I'm having a cruddy day. I need to go listen to that because I need to calm down. But it's just like, if you happen to be in that mood and it's like, oh, what am I in the mood for? Because I'm feeling this way. And I'll just kind of scroll
Yeah.
through and I'm like, that's the one.
Right. That's the one. Yeah.
Yeah. Is it a song you've, because music is like, it's so communal. It can be very community based, whether religion's involved or not. But it's like, if I think about all the songs that I've shared with friends or they've shared with me, is this one that you've shared with people not in your high school group of friends?
So no, I feel like I kind of like it's kind of like a song that like everyone in my family enjoys and that I really enjoy and that I've really in like really enjoyed with my high school friends and we always had fun with it because whenever the choir would perform it during church like there's like a moment towards the end of the song where everything kind of crescendos And it's just like these alone, give me only your love and your grace. These alone are enough. And it just like it goes there, and it's always so dramatic. And they always did a great job in the choir. And so just like my buddies and I, like we love that like moment of crescendo, and we always latch on to that. But yeah, like so we like my friends from high school, we all love it, and my family, but that's kind of like that's kind of it. I also feel like maybe it just wouldn't really hit with people who don't share my faith necessarily. There might be other songs that are better for me to recommend for others than this one.
Right. Yeah. Is this, I mean, it's not like this is a song that's been around for a while. Do you know when the original was written or the original was composed?
I actually don't know.
Yeah. I would guess it's probably a while. Like it's a,
Yeah.
yeah, I'm gonna have to Google that. I'm not, unless you're doing it right now. I see you.
I'm doing
You're
it.
getting into, are you gonna start playing classical music as you're getting into this deep work of
Yeah,
Googling the origin?
I guess I'm gonna have to. 2004. It was written in 2004.
That's much more recent than I thought. I
Yeah.
figured, yeah, because
Well,
when I think,
so the prayer itself is ancient.
sure.
The prayer was written in the 1500s, but this song, 2 decades old.
Yeah, quite exactly 2 years, 20 years. That's wild.
Yeah.
That's wild. Interesting. Interesting. Yeah, because there are, I mean, there's, I'm trying to think of some newer gospel or faith-based artists that are out there. I feel like there's one guy whose name is McCray. I think that's his name. Have you heard of him before?
Ooh, I've heard of him, but I'm really not familiar with his music.
Yeah, so I'm not very familiar with his music either. I used to know a guy that I or a guy that I used to work with. He's a big fan of his, and he's like, "Hey, you should check them out." And I don't think I ever did. I think I
Yeah.
might listen to a song or two. I can't remember. It was like 8, 9 years ago now. But yeah. Yeah, I think he's a rapper, but I can't quite remember. I'm not
Yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
I'll have to double check. But yeah, interesting. I'm trying to think of this question that I'm trying to like reform in my mind. I know you mentioned what it's like to listen to this song when you're on your own. What is it like to listen to this song when you're with those special people that also have a connection? So thinking about your boys in high school, like when's the last time you listened to this song with those guys?
Oh yeah, it's been a long time. I can think of like a going back to Loyola for a Christmas mass, like probably when I was in college. And you like we just like bump into some of the guys because they're also there with their families, and it's the same thing. It's like the song comes on and you just like find each other across the room, and it's like here we go, let's go. And when I listen to it with my family, like for like in the car or something, or we're at church, I like to have fun with it and just like start belting it out and sing really loudly. I like one thing that I love about going to church is the opportunity to sing and sing loudly and proudly. It that also is just it's like a good like emotional release. And I have a terrible voice, but I love to sing around the house, at church, in the car, and so like when it comes on, like if I put it on, I'm in the car with my brothers or Caitlin or whoever, like just like belt it out, and especially at the crescendo at the end of the song,
Of course.
extra belt it out.
Yeah, you got to hit it at the crescendo. That's,
That's
I mean, that's
right.
what a crescendo's for.
Yeah.
That's funny. That's awesome. But you said, so you were in choir in high school. Is that what you had mentioned?
I was not actually in the choir, but I was a very active singer in the looks like in church.
Okay.
I was the model participant. Like I'm standing there, I've got my book open, I'm singing loud and proud, I'm
Yeah.
belting it out. We're having a great time.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's funny. I wasn't in church, but I was in choir, but I was. That's so
Yeah,
funny.
yeah. I'm just an active member of the community, put it that way. Yeah.
For sure. That's awesome. And I think, you know, going back to research and science, there is information out there and science out there that talks about the release when a person sings loudly, because there's so much, like, if you think about tension and, like, different kinds of energy that can be really locked down in certain parts of your body. There's a lot that people, like, carry on their shoulders. They maybe stress or anxiety manifests in the shoulders. So you see people that are kind of more scrunched forward, and they're like, well, why are they like that? They seem fit. It's like, well, could be, I don't know, could be stress, who knows? But there is research about, like, moving your hands, like doing this with your fingers is a good way to release certain types of tension. Humming is a good way to release, emotional energies. And I think that's what you're speaking to about the emotional release of singing, because it's still, making sound coming from your throat and your voice and projecting and getting that out. So I've done some research on my own as a participant, and I think there was something that, like, an annoying work thing, like, a few days ago, and I was just peeved. I was just so annoyed. So I was, like, walking around this kitchen, and I was, like, humming a make-believe song, just to see what happened. And I am happy to report I felt a little bit better, which is
There
better
you go.
than no change.
That's science.
Yeah.
I love it. That's awesome.
I'm a scientist now. I guess that's what that means.
There you go.
That's
Gathering
awesome.
data.
Yeah, exactly. Raw data. So to kind of round this out, I know you mentioned, I keep thinking about the fourth song, the honorary song that didn't make the list, but Toes by Zac Brown Band. And when I think about that fourth song, I also think about all the other guests that I've had on the show, and thinking about, their feedback on the experience of tracking down and finding these three songs and kind of whittling down and coming to this set. So what was it like for you to get down to just these three?
It's I would actually say it was maybe a little bit easier than I expected. Like just because these three songs have been through lines through some of the biggest and most formative and most important moments in my life, that they were the first ones that came to mind, and then I like tried to keep brainstorming and considering others, just like for this, like in the spirit of trying to do a thorough job. But it really just like it kind of came down to these. It's like that, like they're so central in, like I said, like those core memories that I have, that it felt easier than I expected it would.
Yeah, that's really cool to hear. There's a I think the general consensus of reviews that I've gotten so far is that, damn, Benny, that was hard. That was tough. How did you like three? Why couldn't you make it five? Why couldn't you make it seven? So that I think it really gets me thinking. And I think it's very cool that it was somewhat simpler for you. And I think it probably speaks to how just kind of how unwaveringly powerful these three songs are, and the presence that they have, and how, like you said many times, core memories, and how these songs are just, like, they're soaked in core memories.
Definitely, definitely, yeah, and like they all appeared on our wedding day, and they were all like handpicked for that day, and like we talked about earlier, that was the best day of my life, and there's a reason those songs were there.
Yeah, super purposeful, super intentional, which is amazing. Yeah, that's cool. Well, one question I have for you before we round this thing out, and this is very general and very broad, but is there anything that you're currently excited about, and or do you have any words of wisdom that you'd want to share just to the masses that are listening in? And please feel free to answer both if you want to touch on both of those.
Let's see. I'm excited to be back in school. This is the very last year that I'll probably ever be like truly a full-time student. I like to think of myself as a lifelong student, and I try to like keep learning new things and picking up new hobbies and stuff. But this is where it's like my job is to go learn and get better and improve myself. And so just like really excited to be a part of like a learning community. And Caitlin and I have made so many amazing friends being on Stanford's campus. And and in and around Palo Alto that just was like really excited for the 8 months that are ahead before getting back to quote unquote real life. Yeah. And then words of wisdom, what comes to my head is just like we talked about, like be where your feet are, because that's where they are, and that's where you got to be.
Boom. Enough said. Nothing else needs to be shared. That's perfect. That's
Cool.
awesome. Well, thank you, Henry. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I appreciate it. Being a full-time student at Stanford Business School, I would imagine it's no piece of cake. So I appreciate you taking some of the resources of your life and just being open to a fun little chat with
Yes,
me.
sir. It's my pleasure. I'm happy we were able to reconnect. I really enjoyed getting to know you at camp, and this has been super fun. So thank you for having me on.
Likewise. Likewise. Thanks, Henry.